Hey y'all, movie retrospective time.
Yeah, Return of the Living Dead, right? Yeah.
This is another one that's been on my list since like the beginning, like back when I first made the list, and this is one that's been requested like a whole bunch of times.
Yeah, we grew up with this one. We've seen it a million times.
Yes, this came out in 1985, a horror comedy directed by Dan O'Bannon, who was one of the writers on the original Alien. So, there's that. I think he was one of the co-writers on Life Force as well. But so the thing, what happened with this movie is that even though it's called Return of the Living Dead, and it does reference George Romero's Night of the Living Dead, it's actually not in the same timeline. But I really actually kind of like the way that they did this. What ended up happening behind the scenes, right, was that George Romero and this dude named John Russo, they had worked together to make Night of the Living Dead. And after they kind of like went their separate ways or whatever, John Russo wrote a novel called Return of the Living Dead, which was kind of supposed to be like continuing the story. And he like adapted a screenplay from that book. Now, initially, what they were going to do, so like the studio bought it. Tobe Hooper, famously of Texas Chainsaw Massacre fame, was originally supposed to direct it, but then he went off to do Life Force, so they gave it to Dan O'Bannon, who had been tasked with rewriting John Russo's screenplay. Now, what Dan O'Bannon wanted to do was that I guess he didn't want to step on Romero's dick, but he did want to like reference it so it was kind of in the same universe. So what he ended up doing was he ended up making the zombies completely different, but he made it, and this is referenced in the movie, where the events of Night of the Living Dead actually really did happen, but when George Romero made a movie about it, he had to change the details so he wouldn't get sued. You know what I mean? So in this like universe, the shit with the zombies is real. It's just it was fictionalized for that movie, and so the Return of the Living Dead and the subsequent sequels are like what really happened, which I thought was a pretty clever way to like go about it.
It doesn't really matter though, it all kind of fits in together anyway.
It
When
does
you
kind of.
think about it, I mean, you can watch all those movies side by side and enjoy them all.
Yeah,
You
I
know what I
mean,
mean?
now
It's
this is
not,
definitely the best one. I think I've only seen, I saw part two, which is decent. It's not, as iconic or as fun as this one, but it has its moments.
it's not as serious as Night of the Living Dead.
No, not by a long
It's
shot.
more kind of like Day of the Dead. Remember the very last fucking Romero one, Day of the Dead?
The weird thing about this one, and one of the things that I really like about it, and one of the reasons why I think it's still like kind of a popular cult movie nowadays, is because it has this really like kind of a comedic tone to it, but the story itself is actually really bleak. You know what I mean? So it kind of has that really cool like 80s. I don't want to call it schizophrenic necessarily, but it does have this like horribly existential dread type of story, but then it's like has funny shit going on in it.
Yeah, it's kind of like Day of the Dead meets the one with shit. What's the one I'm thinking of with fucking one where the guy goes out the house like an Evil Dead. Evil Dead's
Oh,
what that.
okay.
It's kind of has that kind of that silliness of Evil Dead to it. Okay, but I loved Evil Dead, and when we saw Evil Dead when it first came out, it actually kind of scared me. I was glad that it had some
It had
humor
scary
in
bits
it.
to it. Yeah,
I
the
was glad
original
that it
did.
had humor in it because it wouldn't like petrify you when you were, a teenager. I don't know, just saying it. The threshold was different back then.
Well, I do think, I mean, definitely Evil Dead does have some scary parts to it. I feel like Evil Dead is kind of like a horror movie that has funny parts in it, whereas Evil Dead 2 was just like a comedy that was sort of like marginally a horror movie. This one is not scary, but it is like a lot of fun. It's super gory. Like there's a really lot of cool like effects and everything. So basically what you got also, I feel like maybe people that are younger or into zombie movies nowadays, one of the things that this movie was the first one to do was this is the first one that made zombies be able to run. Some people thought that it was 28 Days Later, but that's not the case. It was 1985, and these were the first zombies that ran. They were also the first zombies that specifically wanted to eat human brains.
They could talk a little bit
And they
too.
could talk, and they were still intelligent, and they were good at problem solving. So they didn't actually lose any of their intelligence. They were essentially just like reanimated humans rather than just like animalistic sort of zombies. Like a lot of them did talk in this one.
I liked it when I first saw it. One of the things that really stood out was old Lena. What's her name? What's her name?
Linnea Quigley.
Linnea Quigley, yeah.
The Scream Queen.
Yeah, she's in it. She's
also in Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers and Sorority Babes and the Slimeball Bowl-a-Rama.
And she spends half the time in this movie naked.
More than half,
More
I
than
think.
Half just running around. And she's in peak hotness fucking for Quigley. She fucking looks really good.
I had forgotten until I was watching a Red Letter Media review of this earlier, and I had forgotten that Linnea Quigley did a VHS tape of like horror exercise, like a horror workout tape, and it had her like doing workouts, and there was like all these people dressed up like zombies, like it was, and I was like, oh yeah, I totally forgot about that because I fucking love her.
She was a trip. She was a trip.
She plays a character named Trash in this.
Yeah, punk rock chick. This was back in the time where, you know, like liberated women had no problem taking their clothes off. They just make a living taking their clothes off.
Well, the weird thing is, like, one of the other chicks that was in this, the one with, like, with the blue hair, she was, I believe, she was actually a stripper, but she didn't, like, get naked for this.
Funny.
But Linnea Quigley would get naked at the drop of a hat. Yeah. She just did not give a single
fuck. She was known for that. That's
Yeah, like, every movie she was in, she spent, like, half of it naked.
Yeah, she was supposed to be, everybody loved her, but evidently she was super cool.
I met her a long time ago, like, at a horror convention, and she seemed like a lovely human being. You know what I mean? Yeah. But yeah, she's kind of known for like, you know, sticking the lipstick in her boob and fucking Sorority Babes and like just doing all this crazy shit.
She knew
shit
how to liven up a movie, you know, a movie from that era. She knew what these movies were and went along with it. You know what I mean? She was an attraction.
Well, yeah, big time. I mean, that's why everybody still remembers her fondly to this
every
day.
Every teenage boy fucking was looking for that fucking Linnea Quigley fucking movie.
Yeah, and that's the thing. When people talk about this movie, I think everybody, when he says, when you're talking about that scene, it's like, you know, the one with Linnea Quigley dancing naked on the top of the graveyard.
Yeah, with all the damn zombies.
With all, it's like shit like that.
Yeah.
So, all right. So let's kind of talk about the sort of plot of this movie, such as it is. And like I said, I really like the fact that they went a little meta with it in the sense that, like, you know, the shit that happened in Night of the Living Dead was actually real, but they had to change it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's kind of where they're coming from. So you got your two main characters who are Frank and Freddy, and Freddy is like a younger guy, and he just gets a job at this medical supply warehouse. It's a place where they, you know, they send skeletons and, you know, fetuses and then cut in half dogs and things like that in case you ever need anything like that. I guess some people do. So when we start out, he's just got a job there, and the older guy, Frank, is like training him, like showing him the ropes around the warehouse and whatnot. So as they're like eating lunch or like, you know, talking or whatever, he's like, hey, you ever seen that movie Night of the Living Dead? Oh, that's a real story. And then he says, coincidentally, that it's like the military was working on this stuff that like supposedly reanimated corpses. Oh, and guess what? The reanimated corpses were accidentally sent here 14 years ago. I think it was 14 years ago. And they're still in the basement. You want to see them?
Yeah.
So, of course, as you would, the dude's like, fuck yeah, I want to see that shit.
You also find out, you also find out in this movie that zombification also affects animals.
That's right.
Which, that's a first.
Yeah, that's another thing that I think this might have been the first one to do that. Because not only did the little cut-in-half dog come to life, all the butterflies that were pinned on the wall, it was just like a second gag, but all the dead butterflies like started flapping and stuff like that too, which I thought
everything
was like a really nice touch.
And it doesn't matter how rotten something is, it still it shows
that was another thing that they, because like some of the ones that came out of the, that come out of the graveyard later on are just like skeletons.
Skeletons with eyeballs. That's
and they can still talk and they can still move around and everything like that, which, you know, from a physical standpoint is
and
like
at the
not
end of the
really
movie, big, at the end of the movie, some nuclear stuff happens, which kind of makes you think it ties in with Day of the Dead. Remember how they were down in it? Which I guess that might fit in the timeline, maybe.
Yeah, it's almost like it's kind of like a parallel universe. Like I said, it's like one commenting on the other.
Yeah. The spirit of the time, you weren't supposed to be overanalyzing shit. You just watched the damn movie. Like, it's like Day of the Dead. You didn't worry about what year certain things happened in. You know what I mean? Well, wait a minute, hold on. Is this 1981 when it's happening? Or what? You know, what's up with... When was the other movie made? What year was that supposed to be happening? We didn't think that way back then.
Well, the thing about it nowadays is that audiences, because they have seen so much and they've consumed so much media, audiences nowadays are a lot more sophisticated, so you can't get away with just like hand waving stuff anymore. You really have to like be on your shit,
and you have to make sure everything fucking lines up, make sure everything fits together
because if it doesn't, someone will call you out on it in seconds.
Back then it didn't matter, we knew it was just a movie.
Everyone was just like, whatever, it's just fun, you get to see Linnea Quigley's boobs and it's like you get to see zombies eating people and whatnot. But so what ends up happening, another thing that this was kind of like, that where this differed from Romero's zombie universe, was that you know, in most zombie movies, it's like, oh, you shoot them in the head and they die. In this one, you couldn't kill them, which in a way makes it scarier. Because like, so they have, so there's one cadaver like in this medical warehouse, right? And, you know, when the, you know, when they accidentally get, you know, bust the gas out of 2,4,5 trioxin or whatever it's called, and when it, like, you know, gets out into the warehouse and the one cadaver, the yellow cadaver, comes back to life, the first thing they think of, as you would if Night of the Living Dead was real and if other zombie movies were real, was that, well, oh, you just, like, bash it in the head and it'll die. So Clue Gulager's character, I love that Clue Gulager is in this. He's fucking great in this. I still remember him from fucking, he was in a movie that was on Mystery Science Theater. I think it was San Francisco International, like that TV movie about the airport that had Pernell Roberts in it. But yeah, so Clue Gulager is in this too. And he's like the big boss, like the owner of the medical warehouse. So they're all just like, well, you know, get it in the head and it'll die. So he sticks the pickaxe through the fucking head, and that doesn't do anything. So then they're just kind of like, okay, well, cut its head off. So then they cut the head off, and that doesn't do anything either. And then they cut it into pieces, and each piece can move around independently.
Yeah.
So they come to the conclusion, you know, as you would, and even though this is what kind of like sets off the much larger, you know, zombie outbreak, is that, well, we have to take it across the street to my friend who works at the mortuary and put it in the crematorium and burn it all up, because otherwise it's just going to keep, it's, you know, it, we can't kill it.
Yeah.
So they end up going over there and burning the body that they've already cut up. They burn all the pieces of the body, and the smoke that comes out of the crematorium goes up into the clouds, causes acid rain, and then the acid rain comes down to the cemetery across the street and wakes up all the zombies. And as I said, like, all the zombies in this one are still intelligent and they are fast. And so in a way, like I said, it's a funny movie, but also if you think about the implications of it, and also that you can't kill them, it makes it like much scarier. Because the thing about it too is that, you know, when one of the characters, Tina, because there's also, you know, the punks who were like waiting, they were a friend of Freddy's and they were waiting across the street at the cemetery, like, for him to get off work so they could pick him up and go do whatever they were going to do. So one of the girls, Tina, she's like trying to run away from the very famous zombie, the Tar Man, who was the one that was originally in the barrel from the army. And she locks herself in this thing, and the Tar Man knows enough to get like a winch and like, you know, put a chain and like pull the door off the hinges. So these are not like dumb zombies that'll just sit there and like paw at the door, like while you're in there and shit like that. They will figure out how to get your ass and eat your brain. And that was another thing that they went into too, is that they gave a reason for why they eat the brains, because they find this one, zombie woman who's just like half of it. She's like all rotten and she's just had like, has her little spine sticking out there. And they actually, she kills one of the punk characters, who I think his name is Scuzz, if I'm not.
Yeah, the punk rockers were quite over the top.
They were kind of funny, but in a fun way. Yeah. So she kills Scuzz, and they capture her, and strap her to a table, and it's a great fucking effect. It's an animatronic, and it still looks fucking fantastic. I love that they had the detail of, like, her little spine, which is kind of going back and forth, like, kind of like Pookie's little snumpy tail does, now that I'm thinking about it. But her little spine, like, goes back and forth like that, and, like, spinal fluid drips out, like, onto the table and stuff. I'm like, oh, nice touch. But, yeah, so they ask her, it's like, what? Why do you want to eat people? And she's saying she doesn't want to eat people. She wants to eat brains, because that is the only thing that alleviates the pain of being dead.
Okay.
And this made me think that, like I said, this is a bleak movie if you think about it, because these zombies that have been reanimated, they can feel what being dead and rotting feels like. I guess The Hunger kind of did a similar thing to that, too, because they were still conscious.
Yeah.
You know, that was vampires and, like, not zombies, but... But
I think with them, though, it wasn't pain. It was just extreme age.
Yeah, I think that was kind of more... I mean, they did, like, fall apart at then, and I guess that killed them. But the thing about this one is that, you know, the implication being that as rotten as you were, like, or skeletal as you were or anything like that, that you would still be able to feel that. And, you know, the two characters, Frank and Freddy, from the beginning... who were the first ones to, like, get the full, you know, brunt of the, you know, the trioxin when it came out of the tank. And they, like, got knocked out. And then they started looking like, you know, hammered shit. Like, when they're walking, they're all pale and, like, their eyes are all red and everything. And then it it ends up they just are in more and more pain. But it ends up that they are also dead, but they're still walking around. And so they kind of go into... they can feel, like, the pain of, like, being dead because, like, rigor mortis starts to set in. You get, like, the blood lividity, like, of the pooling and the thing. And they can feel it because they're still conscious. Yeah. So that's a pretty horrible idea. And I'm actually, like, surprised that another franchise didn't pick that idea up and run with it. Because think how fucking horrifying that would be. And, like I said, too, the fact that, too, that the zombies are smart and that they can't be killed... by any means, because if you burn them, then it goes up into the atmosphere and spreads it even farther.
I remember what the scene was like when this movie came out, though. The whole zombie concept was getting kind of tired.
It was, yeah.
And this was like the latest, greatest, like, last one. It was like the last hurrah of the zombie genre, as far as we were concerned.
Yeah.
We had no idea The Walking Dead would come out fucking,
There was a big gap, like, after... Yeah, there was, like, a big gap, because everyone was kind of sick of zombies.
Yeah, this was kind of, you know what I mean? So this is... kind of like the cherry on top. They put out this movie and you weren't going to see another one. And they didn't make another one. Not a good one for a while.
Yeah, this one had, I think it had four sequels. I've only seen the second one, which, like I said, is decent.
Yeah, the genre was not that popular during that time.
No.
People were sick of it. So much good stuff was coming down the pipe after this.
Yeah.
Think about all the fucking great movies that came after this.
Oh, yeah. You know, there was, like, a ton of fucking...
Oh, yeah. So,
I mean, although I will say, like, late 80s, early 90s, there were, like, kind of a lot of sequels.
Reanimator, From Beyond, the whole Reanimator series, the more stuff from... Phantasm started to come out after this. Fucking Hellraiser. There was, you know, so there was a lot of stuff that was coming out after this that was, like, better, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Or people thought was more interesting because it was new.
Yeah.
You know? That's how I remembered it. I remembered liking the movie when I saw it.
Yeah.
I remember enjoying it when I first saw it. But I wasn't really, it wasn't my favorite movie.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of other stuff that was a lot better going on at that time. It's just, you know, it just was what it was. It was a movie of its time.
Yeah.
And for a while, zombies were kind of coming to an end at this period, from what that's how I remembered it, you know. Seeing it.
Well, because, I mean, George Romero's zombie series had concluded. Although, I think Day of the Dead came out the same year as this movie. So they almost kind of seemed like they were two sides of the same coin, you know?
Another thing is that the tone of it for the time, it was very familiar. It was kind of a fun and friendly movie. It didn't really stick with you or change your opinions about things. It didn't really affect you that much. When stuff like Phantasm was kind of scary, kind of spooky. What the fuck was that? You know what I mean? Especially Phantasm 1 and 2. It was pretty neat.
Yeah.
You know, that would kind of stick with you a little bit more, you know? That's just how I remembered it.
Yeah, I mean, this one is definitely much more just like a fun exploitation type of movie. I don't even know if he was trying necessarily to do a whole other thing with the zombies.
Yeah.
But that is essentially what happened. And I mean, it's funny because, like I said, I don't even know because they've done so many parodies since then of zombies going around going brains and stuff like that. But this movie is where that came from. There was no, there was nothing like leading up to that. That was just like a detail that he
added. It's funny how the movie never really went away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I saw the movie and enjoyed it, but it just kept coming back. It never really went away. Even though, you know what I mean? I didn't really think it was that great at the time. But you watch it now, and it does hold up.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's a lot of fun. And the thing about it is that I really love, and I was like watching something else about it today, like some behind-the-scenes shit, And apparently what they did was that, I mean, there had been like weeks and weeks and weeks of rehearsals of like all the actors and stuff. So they had gotten very used to one another, and it was almost kind of like they ran through it like stage plays and stuff. So you can kind of see how, you know, a lot of the characters in the scenes, they're all like talking over each other, like yelling over each other, like real people would in that situation. Now, the shit is over the top. But that's one of the things that makes it funny is that, you know, particularly the characters of, you know, Frank and Freddie, who were like, you know, the older guy and the younger guy who work at the medical warehouse and who start out everything, their interaction between each other is just so funny because, like I said, they do everything that you logically would do. Like, you know, you're confronted with a corpse that is zombified. It's like you try to get it in the head, just like the movie says, which cracks me up when Freddy's like, you mean the movie lied? Because, like, it doesn't work. And it's like, okay, well, now we'll cut the head off, and then we'll cut it up, and then we'll, like, put it in the oven and all this other kind of stuff. And so it's believable, like, the, you know, the way that they go about, like, you know, trying to get rid of this problem. But then they just are slowly, I guess, because the situation just keeps getting worse and worse, because they don't realize that burning the corpse caused the acid rain that made all the other, you know, zombies wake up. So they're just getting like more and more and more hysterical, like as the movie goes on, yeah. Just because everything's getting worse and worse, and they don't know what they're going to do. And then you get all these fucking zombies. It's like, and like I said, they do shit. They call the cops, they call the ambulance, they call everything like that. But the zombies like overrun, like, you know, and there's a very funny, like famous scene where one of the zombies like eats the two paramedics' brains and then calls on the radio for more paramedics. You know what I mean? It's like to send more paramedics, more cops, so they have more people to eat. It's like, you know, the cops come, they cordon off the area, but it still doesn't work. They're still like overrun because there's so many of them, you know, and subsequently, you know, it just seems like it's kind of spreading, and there's like so many that they can't like contain it anymore. And then finally they do like what maybe they should have done at the beginning was like call the 1-800 number that was on the side of the tank. Like, hey, if something bad happens with this tank, maybe you want to call this number. So they finally do that at the end of the movie, like as a last resort. And they get this guy like in California who I guess for 14 years has been on standby, like waiting for this news. 'Cause they didn't know like where these bodies got sent to or where this stuff got sent to. So it's like now that they know where it is and they're like, well, they check out the situation. They're like, well, the place is overrun. It's Louisville, Kentucky. That's not where they shot it, but that's where it's supposed to be. And they're like, well, just nuke it.
Yeah, the guy's supposed to be in something that we had back in then, or they were working on it. They planned on it. It's called an MX missile, which is a damn train system. And it was supposed to be a big train system with fucking nuclear missiles that you can move around on train tracks so the Soviets would never know where your missiles were. It's called the MX system. They never made it, but they kind of had a mock-up of what an MX missile system would look like. They used like a model of a German railgun from World War II. That had him in there, and he launched a nuclear missile and destroyed, where was it, Knoxville?
It was Louisville, Kentucky. Okay. Like I said, they shot it in Burbank, but where the cemetery was supposed to be and everything, even though they built that that cemetery gate and everything like for the
I don't think that would have worked, though.
Well, it didn't work, because that's the whole thing. You know, that's why they had that whole thing where when they burned the body in the crematorium, it caused the acid rain that made the zombies. So the implication is that the nuclear bomb is going to make it worse because they burned up all the zombies. It goes up into the atmosphere and it's going to wake up zombies all over the place.
Like, yeah, and a nuclear weapon, you know, the main effective force is that damn shockwave, and that shockwave wouldn't have killed those zombies. Not under the conditions that they showed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because if you couldn't cut them apart, how could a shockwave kill them?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it wouldn't have worked. I don't know why they
did that. Like I said, it was just kind of like they were just making the statement that it's like it was supposed to be fire that killed them, and then, but burning them up spread the infection even more. So, really, like I said, that's what I mean about this being, like, really bleak. There's not only that whole, you know, you can feel like what it's like being dead and you can feel yourself rotting and stuff, which is a horrible idea, but also There's really no way to defeat them because even blowing them up or burning them and stuff like that just makes the problem worse.
Like a typical 80s horror sci-fi
because you're
type.
Spreading it.
Yeah, like a typical horror 80s sci-fi movie, you know, it's not really that well thought out. I mean, you know, there's a 1-800 number and the military knows how to fix the problem, but they don't know how to fix the problem. You know, and that's typical.
Well, I think that, and I mean, I'm not sure if this is what they intended or if they even thought as much about it as I did, but I thought that had they called that number at the beginning, like before the shit really hit the fan, then probably they had some kind of contingency measures to prevent the outbreak, like being like, hey, don't burn the shit because it'll spread even more. But since they waited until the very end to call that number, there was nothing else they could do rather than just like nuking the shit.
It looks like the only way to stop the outbreak is like what you saw in the beginning of the movie. You'd have to catch them all and put them into damn drums. That's where they came out of.
Yeah.
You'd
which I'm not sure how.
Catch them and put them in a 50-gallon oil drum.
I'm not even sure like how they did that originally, but it doesn't matter. They don't go into it.
Right.
I think all they say about. Now, the chemical trioxin, 2,4-5 trioxin, that was based on. It wasn't based on a real. There's not like a, you know, drug that reanimates corpses that we know of. You know, it wouldn't shock me if there was. But it was actually kind of based on a couple of real chemicals or like shit they were working on that was like experimental. But I think they mention in the movie that I think the chemical, wasn't it initially made to like kill marijuana plants or something like that?
Probably.
But then it ended up like reanimating corpses and they were like, oh, well, is this a feature or a bug? We're not really sure. But it did start like waking up all these corpses that's they put them in the tank and that's kind of where.
It's probably nothing more than Roundup.
Yeah, that's it. Maybe was something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, there's like such great shit in this. One, I have to say the Tar Man zombie, one of the best zombies of all time. He fucking looks great. He's all goopy. The guy that was in, I can't remember his name, but the guy that was in the, like under the suit or whatever, he was an actor and he worked a lot with Jim Henson. Like he was in some of the Muppets and all that kind of stuff. So he was like a puppeteer. And he was like really great in this. Like the way he moved was really good. And also I want to say, what's the deal with the dude that owns the mortuary, Ernie Kaltenbrunner? I think he was supposed to be based on like a real Nazi or something like that, because he did have, I mean, the pistol he had was like one, and he had a picture of Eva Braun, right? Like,
yeah, Eva Braun up there, he had a picture of Hitler. He was listening to German National Socialist military music. I guess he was supposed to be an ex-Nazi. I guess it's, but
yeah, you know, it's like it was just, that was one of the funniest things to me.
He didn't look like one.
That's what I mean. It's like, but that was one of the funniest things to me is that they put all that in there, but then nobody brings it up and like nobody, and he's not like outwardly Nazi-ish or anything.
No.
He's like, he seems like an okay dude, and so I just thought it was kind of funny that they just like made those references and no one said anything.
I think it was supposed to be something kind of like Dr. Strangelove.
Yeah, maybe that's kind of where they were coming from.
Yeah.
Also, can I say that the soundtrack for this is fucking great. I love the soundtrack for this. It had like a lot of, you know, you had 45 Grave, you had TSOL, The Damned, The Cramps. You know, the last song was The Cramps. But it's like, I feel like this movie, some shit ended up happening with it later on where... I guess there's been like copyright issues with like some of the songs in there. So I think that some of the subsequent re-releases, like on Blu-ray and stuff, they had to like swap out certain songs because they couldn't get the rights to them. I think the Damned one in particular, there was some issue with the rights and they had to like put a different song in there like in later iterations. And also there was also an issue with some of the audio where... Because I think that the Tar Man, when he says, you know, brains and everything like that, I don't know if that's that dude's actual voice or if that's the original audio for that voice. I think they dubbed it over later. And I'm not even really sure if the original version still exists. I think the last Blu-ray that came out, like the kind of big special edition one, was in 2016. And I'm assuming, because they only just now put this on Shudder, I'm assuming that that's, like, that 2016 version is the version that they're... using, but I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty sure that that's not the original audio. And to be honest, I don't remember hearing The Damned in that movie.
I can't remember what the original soundtrack was.
I don't either, because like I said, I saw this. Yeah, I saw this in like the mid to late 80s at some point.
I'm surprised that the movie has held up as well as it did and that it's still around. It was a movie that just kept reappearing over and over again at video rental places, and that's people would fucking show it at parties, and certain songs would end up, certain songs off the track would end up in fucking dance clubs like fucking Man Ray and stuff. It was just a movie that never really went away. I was kind of surprised about it because it was good in those days when I saw it, but it didn't really seem to be that special.
Yeah.
At the time.
At the time, it didn't stick out to you.
Yeah, no, no. But looking at it now, I can see why.
I mean, it stuck out because it did something really interesting and different with the zombie thing. And like I said, a lot of the shit that they came up with, I don't even know if they were trying to be, like, all different on purpose. But just, like I said, he didn't want to go the same way as the Romero zombies. He wanted to, like, homage the Romero movies, but not, you know, but not, like, copy that or not.
I remember at the time seeing it, I didn't feel that that's what it was.
Yeah.
I felt it was more like a ripoff. That's how I saw it at the time. I didn't know it had the same people involved in it.
Yeah, it initially was supposed to be a straight sequel.
But, you know, this is pre-internet. You couldn't check on anything. You really didn't keep track of these names. I mean, they were contemporary for the time. They weren't legendary back then, these people. They became that way over time. And during those days, you didn't know who they were. They were just movies and that showed up at your damn local rental store. Some of the people you'd remember and a lot of people you wouldn't. You know,
yeah,
name.
Like I said, I do feel like, I mean,
time has helped this shit become classic. It wasn't that classic then. It wasn't classic then.
Well, there was so much of it coming out then, too. And it's like, so I feel like...
And a lot of it was bad.
Yeah.
It's gone. You forgot about it. It's fucking vanished now.
Well, that's why it's easier to appreciate, you know, stuff like in hindsight, in retrospect, because you have, you know, you've had time to, like, reflect on it. All the bad shit that came out, you know, that year or whatever, everybody just forgot about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, only the good shit, like, stays around and gets remembered for whatever reason. So I think that's, I think that's another thing, too, where, you know, how older people always be like, oh, they don't make good music anymore. Oh, they don't make good movies anymore.
No, there's
stuff
a
like
lot
that.
Of bad shit.
But, yeah, it's only because we just remember the good shit from back. Because, I mean, 1985, there was a shit ton of terrible movies that came out in 1985. Oh, yeah. It's just that nobody remembers them. The only ones you remember are the good ones.
It was because it was the beginning of the video rental store.
Yeah.
And when you were a kid, you had money to go down there to fucking, you know, your parents are here, go, they'd fucking give you money to fucking get you out of their hair. And, you know, you had an allowance. So we would fucking take our allowances and go down and go rent movies. It might be three or four of us, you know,
yeah.
Go rent movies and watch them together. And so we might have six movies. But teenage boys can watch six movies over a weekend.
Well, teenage girls can too.
You know what I mean? Just make a
you
whole
got
night
enough,
of it just watching
yeah,
damn
you got
movies.
Enough snacks and
yeah,
shit like
and,
that.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem boring and it doesn't, you know what I mean? It's especially back then. Because you had the energy. And everything was fun back then. Even boring shit was fun. So we would then, so, you know, they made a whole industry of, there had to be a big supply of movies at any one time. Because guys were renting them.
Yeah, because you're burning through that
you're
shit.
You're burning through that shit. You'd watch three of them a fucking night. Well, a lot of them were bombs.
And yeah, a lot of them were terrible.
And you didn't know what it was. You just rented it based upon the title of it and what the cover looked like.
Yeah.
And some of that shit was just terrible.
Well, a lot of the covers were way better than the movie.
Yeah, you see that cover, you go, oh, that'll be good. And then you take it back there and you're like, oh, this shit sucks. Sometimes they were so bad they were good. Sometimes they weren't. Sometimes they were just boring. You could like, I can't get through this, and then we just change it.
Yeah. And it's kind of a bummer because sometimes, I mean, I used to go in there and fucking love the covers for like Microwave Massacre and stuff like that. But then like you'd rent it and you'd be like, that wasn't as cool as I was hoping.
Yeah, there'd be like fake versions of the Terminator.
Yeah.
Fake RoboCop movies. Those are fucking terrible.
A lot of them were
fake
terrible.
Alien.
Yeah.
Lots of fake aliens.
Like I said, they still, like, on Mystery Science Theater, Riff Tracks, all those, if you watch Brandon Tenold's channel, it's like they've done a shit ton of just, like, crappy knockoff or shitcase cinema, you know, of just crappy knockoff 80s shit, because it was a ton of fucking knockoff shit in the 80s.
What was funny is that sometimes the knockoffs would be good. Like, there was a good...
Sometimes.
There was a good alien knockoff called Galaxy of Terror.
Yeah. That was Roger Corman.
And it turned out to be Roger Corman, but nobody knew who he was when that movie came out. But that movie looked really good. It had Sid Haig in it.
Yeah.
It had the girl from fucking Brady Bunch in it. The girl gets fucking raped
by... Not from Brady Bunch. She was from Happy Days.
Happy Days, that's right. Yeah. Had some hot chick. She gets raped by a gigantic fucking worm.
Man, I hate when that
happens. Yeah, it's just shit that a teenage boy would want to see.
Although, I mean, Roger Corman was a pretty big name by the 80s because, yeah. I mean, because he had made all those really cool Edgar Allan Poe adaptations in
when
the
When we rented it, we didn't know who Roger Corman was.
Yeah.
Okay. Had we known who Roger Corman was, we wouldn't have rented it.
Yeah, because it's like that.
Because he did shitty movies mostly, okay? But the special effects were done by the dude that did Alien and Terminator. What was his name? Fucking, you mentioned his name.
Which one, James Cameron or
James Cameron?
Well, he did some of the shit on Galaxy.
He did some of the special effects in that movie.
Yeah,
and it looked like some of it looked like stuff out of Alien 2.
That movie was punching way above its weight. I have to say,
Galaxy of Terror. It ends like shit. It just got a terrible ending.
I mean, Roger Corman's kind of hit or miss. Like I said, I love his Edgar Allan Poe adaptations, but he did some really like knockoff. Like I mean, but you got to give the dude props. He never lost money on a movie, and he had a career since the fucking 1950s, man.
There was a bunch of fake Star Wars movies, you know, Battle Beyond the Stars and shit like that.
Star Crash. That's probably the best known one.
Star Wars. That shit fucking sucks.
That's probably the best known one.
But you know what? Never forgot it. And then there was fucking fake, Mad Max, like fucking Metal Storm. Remember Metal Storm? And
yes, fucking
Adventures in the Forbidden Zone.
There was a ton of Mad Max ripoffs. Like I said, they did some of them on MST. There was one called Warrior the Lost World or something like that. It was the same thing, like a wasteland with a guy on a motorcycle or whatever. And it's like, so that was like a whole, that's like a whole fucking genre at this point.
I remember liking fucking Metal Storm. And it was supposed to be in 3D. It had fucking cyborgs in it, all kinds of crazy shit.
I don't remember if I saw
And then like, what was it called? Something Hunter Adventures in the Forbidden Zone. It had Molly Ringwald in it. That was I remember liking that one.
For some reason I wanted to say Buckaroo Banzai.
Space Hunter? No.
I don't remember that.
I think it might have been Space Hunter.
Molly Ringwald was in it?
Yeah, Adventures in the Forbidden Zone.
Well, something. Now I gotta look that up and see what the deal with that is.
I remember kind of liking it.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it in a long time, but back in those days I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so definitely, like I said, if you're into zombie movies and you're just kind of like, and you want to see something that, you know, was done different with the genre, like, because so many people took like Romero's shit and ran with it, which, you know, that's fine. But even shit like The Walking Dead and stuff like that are still homaging Romero. But this one, you know, kind of went a different direction with it. And like I said, I'm surprised that a lot of the shit that they came up with in this movie didn't get used more. Like, I'm surprised this didn't like spawn its whole like zombie offshoot type of movies with
the timing wasn't right.
I guess not. Well, like you said, it was kind of getting to the end of. I mean, you know, like I said, this is the same year that Day of the Dead came out, and really, god damn it, it's like now I'm trying to remember like in the late 80s if there were any like really big like popular zombie movies, but maybe not. Like I feel like the zombie thing didn't really get kicked back off again until like the early 2000s maybe, like with 28 Days Later, and that also had fast zombies and a lot of people bitched about that, but Return of the Living Dead was the first one to do it. First one to do fast zombies, first one to do brain-eating zombies, and as far as I know, one of the only ones until Romero started to go, oh, the zombies are involving intelligence, to make the zombies like just as intelligent as a human.
Fuck all that. They need to redo Omega Man, and they got to do Omega Man right.
What did that have to do with anything?
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Fuck all that.
He just says random shit.
Just random shit. I'm just saying that they've done all this fake stuff and remakes, but they haven't. They did I Am Legend, which was fake Omega Man. It's from the same
I wish
story.
Somebody would but make they, one that was that like shit. The book.
Yeah. Well, I think that what they did in Omega Man with Charlton Heston. Is actually the way to go. That movie would have been perfect if there was more action, especially at the end.
Yeah.
But that was... They need to redo that with the talking mutants and everything.
Well, yeah, like I said. It would be good to do that. Or, like I said, barring that, to do something closer to the book. Because, honestly, they've made 3 adaptations of that book, and none of them are that close to the book. Last Man on Earth with Vincent Price is probably the closest. But all of them kind of change it up some.
You couldn't do that movie would be slow by today's standards. Last Man on Earth.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I just always really like that one. I mean, I like Omega Man, but they kind of did its own. He did his own thing with it.
That post-apocalyptic way is the way to go.
I mean, I Am Legend, the Will Smith one, that was just terrible. Because the whole ending of... They fucking whiffed the whole ending.
They whiffed the whole concept.
Yeah, it's like it's not even anything. It's like they took the whole fucking point of the book and just like shit all over it.
You're supposed to be the last man on Earth. You're the last one. That everybody else is of either a vampire or some kind of a mutant. You know what I mean? And you're trying to survive. Then that's how it's supposed to be. You're the monster.
Yeah. That was the whole point of the book. The vampires had
vampires are scared of you.
They were mutants and they were scared of you.
Yeah.
And that was like the irony. That was like the whole fucking point of the book. Did anybody get that? Or? I don't really know.
They kind of did that. In Heston's Omega Man.
They did a bit.
He was crazy and the mutants thought he was an abomination and they were trying to an abomination from the past. They were trying to get rid of him.
Yeah, so they did kind of go a little bit in that direction. Yeah. But I do feel like when they did I Am Legend, even though they named it the same thing as the book, and that's the whole point of that fucking name of the book, is that you are like the boogeyman, like from their point of view, even though you think they're the boogeyman. So they named it the same thing, but then they just totally went opposite to like what the fucking point of the... I don't know. I didn't understand it. This is why I'm not a screenwriter, I guess. But yeah, so... Like I said, Return of the Living Dead. It might be on Tubi for free. I'm not entirely sure, but because I was actually planning on reviewing this anyway, because I was pretty sure that I saw it on Tubi for free. But then, like a day or two before we were going to record this, Shudder added it, along with a bunch of other classic 80s slashers, including Sleepaway Camp and several of its sequels. And they just added The Burning, which one of the kind of an underrated slasher, had a lot of Tom Savini special effects. Maybe we'll review that sometime later this month, because I really like that movie as well. Go to Shudder and check it out if you haven't seen it. Like I said, if you like zombies, it's got some great gore, it's very funny, and it's got like a really kick-ass punk rock soundtrack if you're into that kind of thing.